Matthew 7:15. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Let's pray. Father God, protect us from the wolves, we ask. Give us true teachers, shepherds after your own heart, who will feed us with knowledge and understanding. Help us to listen to your word. Help me to speak your word, to warn against this ravenous false prophet, this wolf in sheep's clothing. Help us to do what Jesus told us to do and to beware. We ask it in his name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we come this morning to one of the broadest and deepest veins of teaching in the entire Bible. This verse has 41 other verses strongly cross-referenced to it. Now, if you look in the cross-references in your Bible, if you have cross-references, you'll find that most verses have 5, 10, maybe 15 other verses that say substantially the same thing. But as I said, this one has 41 verses that say, more or less, beware of false prophets. Well, this is something that God thinks is very important. This is something that we need to know, something we need to listen to and pay attention to. This warning, this task, beware, and then this description of what we're supposed to beware of. And that, Jesus says, is a false prophet. So the point in the sermon today is that we have to shun false prophets. And the way to do that is by spending time listening to Jesus Christ, the true prophet. Shun false prophets, beware of false prophets, listen to Jesus, the true prophet. Well, who is this enemy of whom we must beware? Beware of false prophets. Well, what is that? Well, we can figure out what he is by examining his titles. The Greek is literally a pseudo-prophet, false prophet in English. So he's false. He's not genuine. He's not really a prophet. Well, what's a prophet? A prophet is someone who speaks, and a prophet is someone who speaks from God, as we saw in Jeremiah 23. The etymology, prophet, comes from the Greek word meaning to speak forth. A prophet is someone who says, I'm telling you something about God, or even better, something from God himself. Thus says the Lord. So our society is apparently plagued by fake news, according to some sources. But Israel of old and the church today are plagued by fake prophets. People who claim that they got a message from God, or people who claim to be talking about God, who are speaking falsehood, who are saying things that are simply not the case. So a false prophet, in its original sense, is someone who says, God told me such and such, when God didn't actually tell him anything, or told him something different from what he's proceeding to tell everyone else. The Bible puts false prophets in the same boat with a broader category known as false teachers. At the end of your order of worship in the bulletin is a verse from 2 Peter, where Peter says, there were also false prophets among the people. He's talking about Israel of old, Israel in Jeremiah's day, and Israel before that time. There were false prophets among God's people in the Old Testament. And what does he say then? Even as there will be false teachers among you. So according to Peter, a false prophet in the Old Covenant is the counterpart of a false teacher today in the New Covenant. And Peter describes these people. They secretly bring in destructive heresies. A heresy means something different, an alternative. Something different from what? Well, something different from true teaching, from what Paul calls sound, healthy, hygienic doctrine. So these false teachers, false prophets, are people who say, I'm a Christian teacher. I'll tell you something about the true God and something about Jesus. And then who proceed to speak falsehood, who speak destructive heresies, that is, alternative truths, alternative facts. And they even go so far as to deny the Lord who bought them. They bring on themselves swift destruction, says Peter. So when Jesus warns us against the false prophet, he's warning us against the broader category of false teachers. Anyone who speaks for a living, anyone whose main business is speaking, and who especially or particularly speaks about God. False prophecy in the broad sense boils down to any kind of false speaking about God, even if no claim to special revelation is made. Now, even today, many false teachers do claim special revelation, but maybe many, maybe even most, don't. They simply say, here's what I've discovered. Here's what I know. Here's what I can tell you about your best life now, or whatever their theme happens to be. A false prophet, someone who speaks, but who gives a fake word from God or a fake word about God. What did we read in Jeremiah? I did not send them, but they ran. I did not say anything to them, but they prophesied. That's God's description of the false prophet. Well, why does Jesus warn us then? He says, beware of false prophets. These folks are subtle. They are not easy to detect. False prophets don't title themselves that. Hi, I'm a false prophet. I'm here to tell you some lies. No, they're subtle. How does Jesus describe them? Well, first of all, they look like believers. They wear the right clothes. False prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. We are described over and over as sheep. God is the shepherd. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 100. When Jesus says they come in sheep's clothing, he doesn't mean that you'll only find a false prophet in a wool suit. He means false prophet is someone who does his best to look like a Christian. He wears the right clothes. He listens to the right music. He belongs to the right institutions. He donates to the Crisis Pregnancy Center and to his church. He subscribes to Christian periodicals. He bemoans the ungodly state of society. He homeschools his children. He sends them to the right Christian school, perhaps. Or he talks about how his children are witnesses in the public schools, or on and on and on. Anything that you can say, well, that's a Christian activity, you can find a false prophet doing it. He wears sheep's clothing. He dresses like a sheep. He imitates a sheep as best, as carefully as he can. And yet, more than that, he even says good things. I believe in God. I think all of us in this town have had the experience of talking to someone about Jesus, and the person says, yes, I love Jesus. Jesus is wonderful. Oh, well, what's your church? Well, I'm LDS. And we say, well, your Jesus is not my Jesus. And yet, they won't say anything bad about Jesus. They won't tell you that Jesus is a terrible person or that people should disrespect Jesus. As far as it goes, generally what they say sounds pretty good. They baa like a sheep, we could say. So that's their first part of their subtlety. They look like a believer. They dress right, talk right, act right in a lot of ways. They're hard to spot. And yet, they are very clearly enemies. Jesus doesn't say they look like a sheep, but they're actually a goat. You know, a little different, fairly comparable, not a believer, but not so very different from a sheep. He says, they're not a sheep, they are a wolf. And not just a regular wolf, but a ravenous wolf, a very hungry wolf, a very aggressive wolf. That's what these false teachers are. Well, how does a wolf relate to a sheep? There are several people in this room who keep sheep, and they know, as I think all of us know, that wolves eat sheep, wolves kill sheep, that wolves have to be fenced away from sheep or poisoned or shot or whatever you have to do, because there's no way that in a wolf-sheep contest the sheep is going to win. It doesn't happen. They're not evenly matched, or the wolf isn't 30 or 40% better than the sheep at killing, but you could have a really massive sheep that has a chance. No. Sheep is going down every time. Anytime the wolf comes into across the sheep will die. More than that, one wolf, even one coyote or one domestic dog, can kill hundreds of sheep, often for pleasure. Wolves, dogs, coyotes have been known to come into sheep pens and kill every sheep in the pen and not eat a single bite of any of them. The wolf is not necessarily motivated by hunger, but simply by the joy of killing. Well, Jesus says, this is what a false prophet is. Don't think of him as a harmless little poodle or a miniature schnauzer. He's a wolf. Now, there are certain wolves out there that are big enough to take down a full-grown moose. Sheep are much, much smaller animals than moose are. Jesus says, false prophets are like wolves. Not something to mess with, not something to play with, not something to entertain, sponsor, donate money to, or listen to. Don't have anything to do with these false prophets. Wolves go through sheep like a scythe through grain, like a lawnmower across the golf course. Nothing stands in their way. So the Christian's task is to beware. Jesus says, these false prophets are wolves. People who tell you lies about God are wolves. So how do we apply that when we think of us as sheep, people who lie about God to us as wolves? What does that look like? What is being aware of them? How does that translate to our daily lives? Well, an obvious one that we already talked about, don't wander off alone away from the church. We have anti-wolf defenses here. If you're on your own, you don't. But more than that, beware of what Christian teachers say. They're prophets. They speak for a living. And so the main area where they're going to be bad is in what they say. That's part of their name, false prophets, people who say false things. Beware of what Christian teachers say. Just because someone says, I'm a Christian teacher, doesn't mean that he's teaching Christian truth. Now, we all know that there are Jewish teachers out there and Hindu teachers out there, and that they won't be teaching Christianity. That's a given. If you see a book that's written by a rabbi or an imam or a Zen Buddhist monk, you know, the Dalai Lama, you know, this book doesn't even claim to be Christian teaching. But there are many books that say, have the name of Jesus on the cover. Talk about the power of prayer. Come from evangelical presses like Zondervan or Baker or Erdmann's, or on and on and on, that have the trappings of the Christian faith, that have that sheep's clothing. Many preachers on TV, on the radio, on the internet. Some of them are true teachers, and some, many, are false teachers. So, listen to what they say. What they say is going to be the premier way that they give themselves away. But in order to know whether what they're saying is true, you already have to know some of what's true. You won't be able to listen and a priori say, well, that's not true about God, and that is true about God. You have to know something about God in order to detect lies about God. Well, how do you learn something about God? Well, you read His Word. You listen to true teachers. You find someone who tells you what this book says and listen to him. False teachers like pleasant things and smooth things, the Bible says. They speak peace to whoever is willing to feed them, to whoever is willing to give them money. They say, your life will be great. Everything will be in order. Things will turn out well. You'll prosper. That's inevitably the message of the false teacher, portrayed over and over and over throughout Scripture. The false prophet tells King Ahab, who asks advice for war, go up and triumph. The Lord will give them all into your hands. This false prophet made himself a big iron pair of horns and he puts them on his head and says, King Ahab, you're going to destroy your enemies, the Syrians, with your giant iron horns. That's how the false prophet operates. So listen to what he says. If it's all peace and safety, things are great, life is good, you're a wonderful, wonderful person, then he sounds just like how the Bible portrays a false prophet. False prophet won't ask you to do anything too difficult. Certainly not to memorize truth, to gain a deep and thorough understanding of Scripture. That's not how the false prophet operates. He likes letting everybody do it the easy way. So beware of what he says, and beware of what he doesn't say. What does he leave out? No, it's not possible to say everything all the time. But if you're listening to someone who says, I'm a Christian teacher, and yet his messages are identical to what you could hear from Dr. Phil, or from Oprah, or from an NPR commentator, then he's left out Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, other religions have founders who started the religion. We've talked about this. Confucius began the teachings of Confucianism. Muhammad began the teachings of Islam. Buddha began the teachings of Buddhism. But only Christianity has a founder who is also the content of our faith. We don't just believe that Jesus started a religion known as Christianity. We believe in Jesus. We say that Jesus is the main thing, the main event, the main person. That without him, whatever you have is not Christian. So beware of what false teachers don't say. If they don't tell you about sin, if they don't tell you about salvation through Jesus Christ, if they don't tell you that you're lost in sin, and that God's Son had to die in your place, the death you deserved, if they don't say that, then they're probably not Christian teachers. They're false prophets. They don't necessarily say anything false, but they leave out many essential items. There are many ways to lie, to deceive, to mislead, and telling half-truths or partial truths is often a very good one. These people are pseudo-prophets. They may not ever say anything directly untrue. But what do they not say? What doctrines do they not talk about? Beware. If they don't mention the Trinity, the Incarnation, the Atonement, the Resurrection, the doctrine of sanctification that we need to obey God in this life, those are all hallmarks of a false teacher. So beware of what they say, beware of what they don't say, and beware of what they want. Wolf wants to eat you. A true Christian teacher, a true shepherd after God's own heart, wants to feed you. So he'll be seeking to feed you, whereas the false teacher, the false prophet, wants to eat you. What does feeding look like? If somebody is a leader, a Christian teacher, wants to feed you, what will he do? Well, the first thing he'll do is tell you the truth. That's the biggest hallmark of a true teacher. Someone who says, this is what God says, this is what's true, and who is consistent in telling you the truth. You've got to listen for the truth, and that means, again, that you have to know the truth so that you can evaluate the truth claims that any particular teacher is making. If you don't know any truth, you won't be able to discern what's false. I'm sure we've all heard the story many times of how bank tellers are taught to handle real $100 bills so that they'll know a fake one, because it doesn't feel like the real thing. Well, that's true of us. We have to know the truth, handle the truth, or we won't recognize falsehood when it comes along. Well, this in turn implies that you're not off the hook here just because you're a simple sheep. Jesus doesn't say, well, a false prophet might come along and you're just a sheep, you won't know the difference. No, he clearly implies that you may be a simple sheep, you may not have much education, you may be very young, but you still need to know the truth and you're still able to recognize this false prophet who's speaking untruths to you. It's the shepherd's job to keep the wolves off your back, but you need to pay attention to whether you're hearing the truth. And secondly, feeding looks like telling you about Jesus. And again, listen, if what the person is saying is nothing more than the moral nostrums and platitudes of the spirit of the age, if it's the same thing that Dr. Phil, Oprah, and NPR commentators give, it's not a Christian message. It's not about Jesus anymore. If a rabbi could give exactly the same sermon, if an imam could give exactly the same sermon, it's not a Christian sermon. That should be obvious to us. But the core of our faith is not be good, it's not morality, as it is for the Jews and for the Muslims. The core of our faith is trusting in Jesus Christ as a living person. And so if the message is not about him, if it doesn't begin and end in him, then it's not the message of a true teacher. It's the message of a false teacher. Well, true teachers will tell you, will feed you by telling you about the reality of hell. Hell is not a popular doctrine. A Texas pastor wrote a book a few years ago called Hell Under Fire. And he documented all the different ways in which people have tried to argue that hell isn't real. But Jesus himself spoke twice as often about hell as he did about heaven. Jesus believed that hell was real. And of course, he has reason to know. He's the true God. Hell is real, and if a teacher doesn't tell you that it's a real place, a real destination, a real option for those who don't want to believe in Jesus, then he's a false teacher. Dante has, over the gate of hell, divine power made me, supreme wisdom, primal love. The original, the primal love, made hell. Love built hell. And if a teacher doesn't tell you that, if he doesn't warn you about the reality of this place and the danger of going there, he's a false teacher. Well, false teachers, or true teachers who feed you, tell you about the necessity of obedience. The rest of the Sermon on the Mount from this point forward is all about obedience. Jesus says you have to bear the right fruit. You have to do the will of the Father in heaven. You have to found your life on not just hearing, but on doing Jesus' words. All three of these, you have to hear, you have to obey. Feeding looks like telling you must obey God. Jesus paid it all, but you are responsible to do everything you can to obey him. The Christian life requires effort. The Christian life requires hard work. And if a teacher doesn't tell you that, again, probably not feeding you. Or if he tells you, you've got to work, you've got to do it, you've got to make it, but he doesn't ground it in the right place, if he grounds it on you have to please God, you have to earn your way into heaven. Or if he grounds it on, the rest of us will think you're probably not a Christian if we see you misbehaving. That's not the right ground for obedience. The only ground for obedience is the finished work of Jesus Christ. He saved us. He called us with a heavenly calling. He forgave our sins. He did and suffered what we were obligated to do and suffer, and he did it in our place. And he saved us for good works. That's where this needs to be founded. Well, what does eating look like? You know, a true shepherd who feeds you will tell you the truth, will tell you about Jesus, will tell you about hell, will tell you about obedience grounded in the right place, grounded in the gospel. A false teacher, a ravenous wolf who wants to eat you, will, number one, generally be obsessed with money. Be all about giving, all about his private jet, all about all the work that he does, all the prosperity that he has, all the ways you can give. You give your money and God will give back to you 100-fold. You've got a pastor who's always on money, always talking about money, always seems to be thinking about money. That's a big red flag for false prophet. Eating also looks like telling you falsehood. And this doesn't just mean falsehood about God. Any kind of falsehood is a big symptom that this guy is a false teacher. My father, who's here today, was in a church business meeting one time. The announcement was made, the session has decided to hold a benefit concert for such and such organization. And in fact, it was unanimously decided. And Dad stood up and said to one of the elders, "Did you vote in favor of this benefit concert?" And the elder said, "No." Dad said, "Thanks, that's all I needed to know," and sat down. Within a few days, he was asked to leave the church. Why? Well, because he had made it obvious to everyone in the church that the pastor had just openly and blatantly lied. But if someone lies to you, regardless of whether it's about God or about money or about his personal life, that person lies to you. That's the biggest characteristic of the false prophet. It's in his name. False. If you hear somebody lie to you, that's a big sign that the person wants to eat you. Or what about using you? I read recently about a megachurch pastor in Greenville, South Carolina, who decided he was going to start a church and he was going to do whatever it took to get to 10,000 people on Sunday morning. That was his goal, and he made it. He recently resigned for sexual immorality. But in the meantime, how did he get to 10,000 people or 12,000 people every Sunday morning? He did it by using people. I'm reminded of the cartoon where you see a distant planet somewhere and two rolls of toilet paper running for their spaceship. One of them says to the other, "I've never been to a planet where I felt so used." And that's something that false teachers do. They're not interested in you or in ministering to you. They're interested in building their ministry on you, puffing themselves up by pushing you down. It's hard to describe, but we all know exactly what it looks like. Many of us have had bosses or seen bosses or talked to people who have experienced this kind of thing. False teachers use people. And false teachers downplay obedience. If they want to eat you, they'll tell you, "Oh, it's okay if you sin. God doesn't judge a man for this and that. The problem is not your sin. The problem is that you just don't believe enough. The problem is just that you don't recognize that life could be great if you would only let go of the negative thoughts or whatever. They don't say, Jesus saved you for good works, walk in good works. That's one thing they definitely don't say. They might say, measure up to my standard, legalism, or they might say, who cares, do whatever you want, antinomianism. But what they will never say is, you're forgiven, cleansed, justified in Christ, and now the Holy Spirit is at work sanctifying you, and you need to put forth effort to obey the Father's commands. That they will not say, because that would make it harder for them to eat you. Jesus never downplays obedience, and he never downplays grace. For him, faith works. Grace teaches obedience. So, have these characteristics of a true teacher in mind. Have these characteristics of a false teacher in mind. And finally, beware of how teachers act. You don't have to hire a private detective to follow around anyone who says, I'm a Christian teacher. But how he acts will come out at some point. If he has a particular sin in his life that he hides and tolerates, he'll be soft on that sin. Jesus says, whatever is hidden will come to light. What's whispered in the dark will be shouted from the housetops. So if the person says the right things, looks the right way, but his life doesn't measure up, beware. Well, in all this, being aware of the true prophet, of the false prophet, evaluating, judging, saying, wait, you tell me you're a Christian teacher, but what you're saying, is it correct? Is it true? Are you feeding me or are you eating me? Which is it? In the midst of that, don't forget Jesus, the true prophet. He's your ally. He's the ultimate shepherd. He's the one, the greater David. You know, David killed a lion and a bear that were coming after his sheep. Jesus protects us from bigger threats than that. He preserves his church. He gives shepherds in the church who fend off the wolves, who give true teaching. So trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He always speaks the truth. He always lives perfectly. He always cares for you. He always feeds you, never uses you, never eats you. His warning against wolves is driven by his concern for his sheep. Jesus loves his sheep. That's why he says, beware of wolves, beware of false prophets. Listen to true teaching. Jesus didn't ever say deeds, not creeds. He didn't say that the most important thing is how you live and what you believe is irrelevant. He says, believe the truth, listen to the truth, shun false teachers and false prophets. Don't listen to them, listen to me, I'm your true prophet, Jesus says. He's our prophet, the greater prophet like Moses, the one who declares to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. So listen to him, trust him, he'll preserve you from the wolves. He'll deliver you from every evil work and bring you safely to his heavenly kingdom. Think of the song we sang, Paul's statement, I know whom I have believed, I'm persuaded that he'll guard what I've given him. Give him your life and he'll preserve you from the wolves. Let's pray. Our Holy Father, we ask that you would help us to beware of false prophets. Help us not to listen to them, not to follow them, not to believe and swallow their lies. We pray, Father, that you would preserve us from being false prophets. Help us to speak the truth about everything and certainly, especially, about you. Help us not to eat each other, not to bite and devour each other, not to act like or to be like wolves in sheep's clothing. Protect us, Father. Help us to beware all the time of the evil influence of these false prophets who would turn us away from Jesus, our true prophet. Help us to love and trust and believe him, to listen to him, It's in His name that we pray. Amen.